B-Pod Studios.
I mean, the sport's brutal enough, you know. And I look, this is not to say that the talent is there to give you, but it allows teams to have guys. Mm-hmm. It should be 60 plus the practice squad.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing about it is we have these conversations and the ratings for the NFL just go up and up.
Oh,
and
yeah, I'm not
up.
Saying it's
nuts, right?
Listen, I'm not saying it's great. It is great. I watch every NFL game I can. Except I will be real with you. The two primetime games I did not watch.
Mm-hmm.
I did not watch Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. It had just no redeeming value for me. I was like, ah.
Yep.
And I look at the quarterbacks. It's Mason Rudolph versus Andy Dalton.
Well, I hate Andy Dalton. I hate him. Hate watching him play. And I go, I'm out on this game. I don't like the broadcasters, so I'm out. So I watch every game.
Yep.
And I was out on that game. And what was the last Thursday?
Eagles.
No, Sunday night. I'm sorry.
Oh, Sunday night game.
It was Cowboys Saints.
Yep. Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah. I was monstrous for that one.
There was the Monday night game was another bad one.
Well, the Monday night game last week.
The Jets Browns game?
Yes.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yes, that was hideous. I checked in a little bit. I was like, I can't.
Well, they're down to their third string quarterback by halftime.
Yeah.
Well, you got a good one tonight on Thursday night. I look at this.
No, it's a great one tonight. Like, I'm in on Seattle Rams. Yeah.
The audience so far, this article just came out the other day, for broadcast through the first 4 weeks of the NFL season climbed 4% from a year ago to 16.3 million people per game average, the most since 2016. Viewing has increased again across the schedule for the NFL. Thursdays on Fox are just slaughtering everybody.
Yeah. Well,
huge numbers.
Put the NFL on.
Yeah, and you think about Thursday, you go, well, Thursday game's not great, you know,
mm-hmm.
Short week, but that hasn't been the case. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station, and we broadcast from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
97.5 The Fanatic. Big Green giveaway.
Presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download in the App Store or click on parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, here's the keyword. It is winner. Enter the keyword winner. Winner, like you win the game. Winner, not winter. On the Fanatic app or 97.5thefanatic.com or by texting winner to 45911 by 1115. And we'll call you if you're randomly selected and you win $1,000. And everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for the $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. And remember, keyword winner on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or text it to 45911 by 1115. Good luck.
Our big cash green giveaway brought to you by the all-new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. It is 11 o'clock on a rainy, dismal Thursday, but you know what? It feels kind of good.
Yeah.
After the heat that we had, it kind of cools it off a little bit. Nice.
Turn the AC off.
Yeah. Autumn. Autumn is upon us.
Open the windows.
And it actually is going to be nice. It's going to be in the 70s and 60s. It's perfect.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be a nice, sunny, you know, low 60s day. I love that. Leaves are starting to change. It's a great time. It's a great sports time of year.
Yeah, it is, because you know all four sports about to.
It's the confluence. They all come together. For the sportsman.
The confluence.
I put out a tweet last night, Anthony, because some people seem to have a problem being able to consume multiple sports at multiple times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, we'll get into that.
Yeah, but
I have a theory.
You have a theory?
I do.
I love when you have a theory. You got a lot of theories. You're a theories man.
I'm a nonsense man.
But you're not a conspiracy theorist.
No.
All right. That's very interesting.
I do have a theory on why.
Let's head to Moorestown and talk to Jim, who's on the Fanatic. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, listen, I'm one that cannot stand the instant replay, but I also grew up with a friend of mine whose father worked for the National Broadcast.
Stay on that phone for me, Jimmy.
You there?
Yeah, were you in the other room there for a portion?
Yeah, I was there. Sorry about that. Well, anyway, I grew up with a kid whose father worked for the network up in New York, and instant replay was really pushed by the networks because they needed to fill time in between plays to show more of the game, considering that the average NFL only had about 11 to 15 minutes of live action.
Yeah.
And if you do some Google research, which I did this morning, we watch about 22 minutes of replays during a game out of a 3.5-hour.
Yeah.
So So the networks are the ones that are really pushing this instant replay stuff. So they can drag out the game so they can get more commercial time to make more money because of the cost of their packages.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, you're right. I mean, like, these games are, you know, the actual play. I forget who did. I think it was the Times who did a story years ago where they it's infinite, the amount of game action in a football game because of the plays and the play clock and all that stuff is all part of it when they expanded the play clock, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and the instant replay, I think just killing the game. I mean, like you said earlier, you think you scored a touchdown, and then 20 seconds later, oh, there's a flag on the play. We have to review it. And then the whole excitement and drama.
It's over-officiated, the sport. It's completely over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous how many flags are in a given week. I mean, it took Tom Brady to say the game's unwatchable for them to knock off the holding calls.
Yeah, it's getting pretty bad to watch. But, I mean, like you just said, the numbers, people are still tuning in. So as long as people are tuning in, they're not really going to change.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You know,
tuning in and making money.
And look, I'm a hypocrite. You know, I watch everything, so... You know, I understand it.
You and me both. I'm an idiot. I'll be watching tonight.
That's it, brother. That's my man, Jimmy.
It'll be on one of my screens tonight, too. No doubt about it.
Yeah,
I'll be watching. There's so much on tonight, though. I'll be flipping around watching. But that Seattle Seahawks Rams game has got ramifications here. You know, it's NFC teams. Well, it's good, teams you want to scout.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Scout situation,
it's
right?
It's a good game.
Yeah.
I love watching Wilson play.
I do, too.
I'm a Russell Wilson fan.
Let's go to Portland and talk to John on the Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, John.
Hey. I just wanted to mention, talk about the Sixers a little bit. I really like the moves they made, getting rid of Butler. I may be in the minority there, but I felt that it was kind of outside the process, bringing in Butler. And... what do you think about that?
No, I don't think it was outside the process. I think it helps Tobias. I think it also helps the situation because Jimmy and Brett, I don't think, saw eye to eye. I think they didn't get along well. That's my kind of takeaway. And I think they're younger. So I love this roster. I think Horford's the perfect kind of age guy. And I was a Jimmy Butler fan, but I like this roster better.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. And they're not going to have the chemistry issues they had last year because they're starting with the roster that hopefully they're going to finish with.
That's a great point. It's a great point.
You may add a shooter or somebody, buyout, but.
Yeah, but that's a bench.
Not
guy.
A starter, yeah.
Yeah, no,
Not 17 games left in the season. They bring in Butler or 22, whatever it was, you know.
Yeah, well, Butler came
in November.
Like you had to do something because
who was it?
It was Tobias that came later.
Tobias that came late. And that disrupted things. It really did. I thought it did.
Well, I don't think it disrupted. I think you added talent. Like you had to add the assets and adding Tobias. Like, see, to me, it was a part of the process because the process is just about assets. And so you were able to add the asset, and then you were able to re-sign him, and then you were able to move Jimmy, and you got Richardson. So you were able to build. Remember, they started the year with Fultz and Dario and Covington.
Wow.
Right, last year?
Right.
John?
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty good. Yeah. What a job Elton did.
Yeah.
Elton's amazing. He really is.
Yeah, he's
one
done.
More thing.
Go ahead, John.
What's the deal with establishing position down low in today's NBA? Years ago, Will and Jamal.
And the game's evolved, John, to this three-point game. More threes.
Yeah, but I mean, they can't get five. Joel can't establish position 5 feet from the basket every time.
Like, he could, but it's not a back-to-the-basket league anymore.
Well,
sometimes he needs to be down low.
I agree with that. Sometimes, but
I agree, John. Here's the issue. The real issue is he don't want to be down low.
That's all passing.
Right. So that's a big deal. In fact, one of the reasons why he lost the weight was to give him more face to basket quality. The other issue is they want to play outside in, not inside out. Now, I agree with you that there are times that Joel Embiid should be down on the low block, and Ben Simmons should be down on the low block.
Mm-hmm.
You have two guys that are complete just mismatches. They got to learn how to post up. Joe does not know how to get position. He is not a, like, I believe he belongs in the low post. I think he can foul out anybody. If this was 1988 or whatever, or 85, he'd fight all those big centers. He'd foul them all out. But the game's changed. The issue is he's got to learn still proper post up to get position. Because if you want, look at the entry pass. So he dives at the ball on the entry pass.
Gives up a lot of real estate.
So, you know, all of a sudden, you're 7 feet from the basket. Now you're 12 feet from the basket. Because you just went out. He's got to really learn how to post up properly. So does Ben, for that matter.
Yeah.
Because you can, look, the mid-range game is what is missing in today's NBA because of the analytics. They tell you that percentage-wise, the mid-range game is not worth it. You might as well shoot a three, but around the basket is worth it because it's a higher percentage shot.
And when you can get a guy like Embiid to the line,
beast and a monster.
Yeah, but you're right. He goes to the ball and gives up a step and a half of real estate. Now he's too far from the basket.
I mean, remember, we have a tendency to be overly critical. He's just playing the game. He still is a puppy when it comes to actually playing the sport.
He's green.
He's only about 10 years.
It's crazy to even think that he's that talented. It's not
like he was growing up playing the game.
Yeah. And it's not like he's like a Shaq or a Patrick Ewing that played in the post his entire life because of their size.
Right. So, and today's game anyway, you're always going to be facing the basket. There should be times, though, when you do post up. I agree with people.
All right, coming up, we're going to check our Twitter poll of the day because Andrew put one out regarding the quality of sports, but the playoffs, because you made the case earlier that baseball, the 2 months of playoffs, I could not agree with you more. I think you're dead right about the baseball limiting the amount of regular season games and elongating the playoffs because the playoffs are a different animal. So we're going to put it to the test about playoff sports. The best. So we'll find out the results, Anthony.
Also, is there another position that Howie needs to go after? And there's an unhappy guy at this position in an NFC rival who we'll talk about.
Ooh, okay. All right, 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. D-Gun at the bottom of the hour as well on a football Thursday. It's the midday show, 97.5 The Fact. Let me tell you about the Rothenberg Law Firm. Now, sports radio hosts, sports fans, we talk a lot about our great Philly teams, what we do every day. We talk about their players, talk about their stats, and every sports fan knows how important stats are to measure success and figuring out what's working. Well, when I saw the stats of the Rothenberg Law Firm, I was blown away. How about this? I've known that Allen and his firm have been winning here in Philly for years, but it's even bigger than that. So check out these stats. Did you know that they've been winning for injured people for nearly 50 years? Did you know that they've helped thousands and thousands of people with all kinds of injury cases? And did you know that they've won billions of dollars for injured people? That's billions with a B. Now, you don't have to be a manager of a team to know that these guys are winners. The stats say it all. It's clear. If you're injured and you want to win, do yourself a favor. Make the call to the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop until they win for you. So here's the number. 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or you can visit their website at injurylawyer.com. Again, the website, injurylawyer.com.
97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic. Gargano and Martinez Middays.
All right.
Hi, 11:22 on the midday show.
What up?
To you, Anthony Gargano.
By the way,
All-Star Day's happening soon, huh?
Yeah, next week.
Look at that.
10th birthday to the Fanatic. How about that? 10 years since the flip to FM here at 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll celebrate with a little hodgepodge mix up of all the shows.
It's always fun.
Yeah, I have the lineup in front of me.
I do as well.
Do we have permission to give it away?
No, not yet. We do?
Yeah, yeah. Coach gave me the green light. We'll have a couple guests during this program. Tim McManus will sit in with us, Ant, for a portion.
I like it.
BC, Bob Cooney, Ty.
I love it.
Mike Miz, all kinds of people.
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, can't wait. It. By the way, I was just looking at the Eagles-Jets history.
Yes.
The Eagles have played the Jets a total of 10 times in their history, going back to 1973. So in the 10 times the Eagles played the Jets, what's the Eagles' record?
10 times against the Jets?
10 times against the Jets.
I remember them owning the Jets, quite frankly. I don't know, 8-2?
10-0. Hope that isn't the jinx or the Maloik, but
10-0. 10-0.
In the 10 games, Anthony, the Eagles
that's
have
such a just a that team. I don't think there's a team that I'm more ambivalent about
in their history since Namath.
I mean, I think of it, they've been around forever.
Yeah.
And I really have no feeling toward them. Like the Cardinals, I have no feeling, but the Cardinals are NFC, and they were once upon a time in the division there in St. Louis. I'm trying to think of a team that I had like literally zero. You know, Buffalo, but Buffalo made
the four Super Bowls in a row.
Exactly.
Chip Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Bruce Smith.
I mean, Cincinnati, but even back in the day, they went to, you know.
Some AFC championship games. Cleveland even did with Bernie Kosar.
Like, I feel, like you mentioned Jets.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a more irrelevant franchise in football.
Or not a Curtis Martin guy, a Chad Pennington guy.
I mean, they had some nice players over the years.
Chad Pennington sucked.
One of my good friends growing up was a big time Jets fan. And
he was terrible.
It was a shame.
Curtis Martin was a hell of a player.
Oh, yeah, he was a good player. I mean, they had some decent players over the years.
Wayne Krabet.
I covered one playoff game.
Klecko,
involving the Jets.
Was it the last one they were in?
Yeah, it might have been. Because I don't remember them. They made a bit of a run. They might have been in like one wild card game after. But I was at this game in Denver. Terrell Davis ran for 200+, and the Broncos beat the Jets. It was like an AFC divisional game.
Wow. Well, they had the two straight AFC championship
games.
Yeah,
with Sanchez.
Right. And Rex Ryan.
Fumble. Yeah.
Right, I forgot about that, yeah.
That was in, what, 2010?
When they did that back-to-back years.
2009, 2010.
Beat the Patriots both years.
Yeah, 28-21 they beat the Patriots, and the year before they actually did not beat the Patriots. They beat Indianapolis, the Chargers. And they lost to the Colts that one year, 17-10, and they lost to the Steelers in 2010, and the Steelers won that game. So, yeah, you're right though, Ant. They're a team that just like has got no teeth,
none
since the guarantee of Namath way back when, and I'm too young, you know. They got no teeth. They've never been a team that really kind of grabbed you know, any attention.
It's like the Charlotte
just
Hornets.
Kind of irrelevant.
Yeah. Like the Charlotte Hornets are an irrelevant franchise.
Yeah. But they even had, like, the Hornets had Alonzo Mourning at one point. You know, I mean, they were decent at one point in the 90s, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's just so funny, man. You know, they're just horrible.
Yeah. I mean, Rex Ryan was a blowhard. Like, that's why he got attention.
They're gross. Like, there's, and I remember.
They're ick.
When I used to work in New York. You know, I was in New York for a long time, and they were beneath. The Jets were like beneath. Think about their franchises. The pecking order up there was Yankees 1, Giants 2, Knicks 3, Mets 4, Rangers 5, and then they would get into like, you know, the Devils.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Yep.
And then the Jets were so far down the totem pole.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, even the best Jets players. Obviously, Namath on that list. Curtis Martin was great. He was a good player.
Kevin Maui.
I mean, Revis was there for a while.
My way.
Gastineau. Remember the Walk Like an Egyptian video?
Yeah.
He was, and
Joe Klecko.
Yeah, Danny's old
my man.
Yeah, I mean, you have Freeman McNeil.
Klecko's a great peep.
I liked Wayne Krabet.
Did you?
What about Lavernius Coles?
Yeah.
Well, Testaverde was there for a while. Vinny T. Ken O'Brien was a quarterback there.
He wasn't bad. Boomer was there for a while.
Keyshawn was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
so weird. I just have no. I'm just kind of ambivalent. But you know, remember, it's funny.
Well.
Because we're they're AFC, we're NFC. We just have no. Like, I used to hate when they would put when TV would put the Jets on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would have to be stuck with like Jets Buffalo on the early game.
Yeah,
and you're like, I don't want to watch this.
Their uniform is boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They could do something cool with being the Jets, but they haven't.
Yeah. They lack.
It's lame.
They lack cool.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Jets lack cool.
No doubt. 610-632-0975. We'll hear from D-Gun in a minute. Let's go to Nick in Collegeville in Fennec. What's up, Nick?
What's up, gentlemen? How we doing, man?
Yo, Nick.
You forgot the best Jet player ever, Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, the Sanchez. Blair Thomas, the former Penn Stater, was a Jet.
I love the Gastineau with the hair, Klecko, and Blair Thomas used to run it. Yeah, but they were horrible. Sunday 1 o'clock game, that was horrible, man. I used to hate it when we had a late game. Remember, it was blacked out every once in a while.
Right. Yeah. And you would get like, all right, who do we get? And like, that's the only game on watching the Jets.
Yeah.
And the only worse than that was the Eagles, Arizona, or Phoenix, or whatever the hell they were called.
Cardinals.
Before, man. And they would always steal a game.
Yeah, Jake Plummer.
The Phoenix Cardinals.
Yeah. Jake the Snake.
The second Jake the Snake, not the first.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to do Andrew a favor, man. I want to get him an HDTV. So,
I'm just trying to figure out
what's that?
Do a GoFundMe.
No, excuse me. I'm sorry. Forget GoFundMe. I got a 4K smart TV, like Samsung 48-incher, like open box for like $199 at Best Buy, like a month ago. And I never thought I would have a 4K TV, but for that price, I'm like,
how is the 4K?
It's weird. I'm going to tell you right now, because I'm sitting there watching it. I got it like 3 weeks ago.
It looks weird, right? Like, doesn't it look like our movies? It doesn't look like
it's like a
film.
Live feed.
Yeah,
it looks like a live. Look, it
looks
I
like video.
Right. Yeah. The first show I watched was some weird like HBO show, and I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, oh, they must have filmed this weird. I'm like, because this looks like it's a live TV
show.
Right. Then I started watching other programs and sports programs. I'm like, oh no, this is like the 4K effect. To the point that actually, I'm not crazy about it. Like, I watch all my games down, like you say, downstairs on the couch or on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, you can't be in bed. Who watches in bed? These bad guys, I don't get it.
Tonight I'll be in bed. Tonight, like halfway through the game, third of the way through the game, after the first quarter, I'll come upstairs. We got to wake up.
I'm a downstairs man.
you got to get downstairs and be all ready to go.
I'm a front room guy. I'm a parlor guy.
As
my grandmother would say, the parlor.
The parlor.
The parlor.
But this guy doesn't watch the games on the couch. He's at the games. And he joins us right now from NBC Sports Philadelphia. You see him on Quick Slants, pre- and post-game live. D-Gun joins us right now. D-Gun, coming off a big win against the Packers. It was pretty monumental. You were there. How did it look from your eyes there?
It was a great game from a fan perspective. Back and forth, a lot of drama. Unfortunately, a couple of players got hurt. But you hear the news that both are recovering nicely. But what a win. What a statement win for this Eagles team. Riding the low tide of a two-game losing streak, going into a place where it's difficult for opponents to play in and to be able to come out of there with a win. Man, that's great heading into this week's game. And I heard you talking about people sitting on the couch to watch this game. This game Sunday is a game I wish I could sit on the couch and watch and didn't have to cover.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I hear you. All right, let's talk about the secondary. What's this thing look like?
Well, do you know a priest? Get some holy water. Maybe it might need an exorcism. But man, I don't know, man. They're bringing guys in off the street. I mean, this is like shades of last season. Man, I don't know what to tell you right now. I don't know who's in and who's out. Well, there's three guys who are in. They bring Skandrick back. He may be playing 75-80% of the snaps.
It's crazy.
I can't remember a back-to-back season where a secondary has been so decimated so many times, and the front seven has got to take some of the pressure off these guys. The front seven has got to increase his pressure on the quarterback, make the quarterback uncomfortable, because you can't ask these guys to stand back there and hold receivers 7-8 seconds, because that's detrimental to your cause there.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Man, yeah. I just don't know how, though, you can get pressure with this front.
I agree. And but if there's a game where you can be flawed, I think it's this game. I know we always talk about you don't take any opponent lightly. You don't look past any opponent. But to me, this has the makings of that fourth preseason game every year the Eagles play the Jets. The Jets are a mess right now, man. Their defense is not bad, but their offense has only had two scoring drives the entire season. The defense for the Jets has scored 22 points.
Goodness.
They got a guy I love. I know you love, too. You got to love him. But that Jamal Adams, man. Forget about that whole team, but you can give me Jamal Adams any day. I love watching that dude play football.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, I feel bad for him because he's stuck on that,
I know.
That CFL team.
That's right.
But such is the case. You know, he's a phenomenal player. I love Le'Veon Bell, one of my favorite backs in the league. He can't find a hole to run through, you know. I think this game's going to be a snooze fest before halftime, even. I'll be thinking about what questions I'm going to ask players by halftime and compiling stats. By the fourth quarter, I don't know how closely I'm going to pay attention to this game. You know, hopefully nobody else in the Eagles team, specifically the secondary, gets hurt. They come out of this game injury-free, because after this Jets game, they've got six games in a row that will define their season.
Oh, you're dead right about that, and starting with that three on the road. Derek Gunn, NBC Sports Philly, joining us on the Comcast Business Highline. D-Gunn, I know that yesterday Doug said that Sidney Jones is day-to-day, and he went through, I guess, a walkthrough yesterday. But my question is really simple. Despite the injuries of Sidney Jones, what the heck is he? I don't know. I have a feeling that he's not very good at the NFL level. Based on what I've seen, what is he? Does he have the potential to be good if he's healthy, or are we just missing something?
I'm inclined to agree with you. I was sitting there talking to my co-host on Quick Slants, Barrett Brooks, yesterday, and I asked him, I said, I want to know who evaluated him a few years ago as the premier corner coming out of college. I understand he had the Achilles, and a lot of times it's difficult to come back, and maybe he has lost a step. But I think he's functioned better in the slot, more so than the outside.
Yeah.
I know Sidney had told me back in training camp he would prefer to play the outside, but I think he's lost on the outside.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, too many times.
It's terrible.
Too many
times
I'm watching this guy looking at the back of receivers' jerseys trying to chase him down the field.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm at a point now. I'm almost giving up on the Sidney Jones. Now it's time to start looking in a different direction.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree with you more. I gotta tell you. Derek, I couldn't agree with you more, man. I said the same thing the other day. Like, I had this moment of weakness where every once in a while, because you've been doing this a long time, you every once in a while just blurt something out because you just can't, like, you didn't want, without any tact. Like, it just comes out.
Absolutely.
Like, you just couldn't suppress it. And I couldn't suppress it anymore with Sidney Jones. I go, he blows. He just blows. It's a waste of a pick. I'm looking at Dalvin Cook, and all I wanted was Dalvin Cook. I got this dude.
You know, I've been a big Dalvin Cook fan ever since his days at Florida State, because I watch a lot of Florida State football. And when the kid lost his rookie year, I was waiting to see would he lose some of that durability and that escapability when he came back the next year. You saw shades of, but the Dalvin Cook I'm watching now, this kid is a phenomenal back. I love the way he runs. I love the way he gets low and the second acceleration he has when he gets an open space. And you're right. That kid could have been wearing an Eagles uniform. Can you imagine him running behind this offensive line? My goodness. Unfortunately, we didn't get him.
I know.
But you're going to see him. You're going to see him in less than two weeks.
You got to deal with
him. All right, here's the deal now. All right, so I asked the question to the guys yesterday and to the callers.
Yep.
I'll ask you. Right now, after the four games, looking at how this team has been ravaged by injuries, I mean, just completely ravaged, can they still win the Super Bowl?
I think they can get to the Super Bowl. if everything falls into place, I mean, let's be honest. Did we think they could get to the Super Bowl in 2017 with the abundance of injuries they had then, the primetime players? You know, and as you know, Ant, you get on a hot streak, anything's possible. But I'm still, the thing that really I'm keeping my eye on is this Saints team that's functioning without Drew Brees. And they went into Seattle and beat up on the Seahawks in Seattle and came back home and held Dallas to one touchdown and beat Dallas. So now they got past the two most difficult games of the supposedly six games that Brees is supposed to be out. And if New Orleans is still controlling that division, that's a team to keep an eye on.
Yeah, they're a good team. I agree 100%. Yeah. You're right. So my answer, and you tell me what you think of this answer. Okay. I'm talking to Derek on the Comcast Business Hotline, NBC Philly. So if my answer was this, now again, barring a move by Howie, which I know he's trying, right, if DeSean Jackson can play and you can have DeSean for the rest of the year, then I think they're still alive to go and win it and do something special because he makes that offense completely lethal.
No question. He opens up the offense. He forces a defense to change its mindset. There's no question about it. I think if this team got to a Super Bowl, I think it's a given, they're going to be in a shootout with either New England or Kansas City. So you need all the bullets you can get at your disposal in the chamber. And I do think the Eagles are talented enough offensively if they stay healthy. They can shoot out with anybody in the National Football League in that regard. But you're right. The key bullet in that chamber is DeSean Jackson.
Man, he's dealing with an abdominal injury. Derek, one of the things that we know about the Eagles is their general manager, Howie Roseman. I said to Anthony before the show, he's in a ghillie suit right now, waiting for his shot, to take his shot and grab a guy. Ramsey, Saad Khan has said he's not going to move him. Maybe that changes at some point. We're still weeks away from the deadline. But what you do know is that Howie is always scouring to find a way to strengthen a weakness on his football team. Are you hearing anything that any interested parties for Howie Roseman to be that target?
No player in particular. There was that rumor out there, as you guys know, that Chris Harris of Denver could be a possibility. I mean, Harris came out and said 13 more weeks after they lost their fourth game, and then he backed off and said, I love being in Denver. We don't know what kind of smoke and mirror statement that was. But you know how he's behind the closed doors looking at something. But I have not heard of a definitive player he could possibly be looking at in terms of trying to get him here to Philadelphia to help this defense, especially on the back end.
Man, no question about it. D-Gun, we'll be watching this weekend, pre- and post-game live, surrounding that Jets game, NBC Sports Philly, Quick Slants, and everything else. We appreciate you doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, have a great week and a great weekend.
You too, D.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun one. Thanks, Derek. Yeah, it's going to be a fun one this weekend. I see blowout. I just don't see any other way around it, Ant. It's just an inferior opponent. Your quarterback's playing too well.
Yeah, probably. I think so. I mean, at this point, though, I'm very hesitant to just win the game. Like, I don't care about blowouts and all this other nonsense. Win a game, that's it.
And don't compound any more injuries.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest problem with this team.
Oh, it's crazy.
If they're at full strength, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
But they've just been ravaged.
Now, you were talking earlier about a certain NFC player that's unhappy where he is. I want you to reveal who that player is next, because it's a team that the Eagles would have to deal with.
Yep.
610-632-0975. That is the number to get in with Derek on. We got a couple open lines for the first time today, and we're discussing the sports and the quality of the leagues. Started off with a little baseball, talking a lot about football and the OPI and pass interference and the challenges, Ant, and everything that goes along with it.
Coming up, I gotta throw this basketball thing by you as well.
Ooh.
It's a text board quote, and I'm curious what people think about it.
All right, stay tuned and find out what that is. And more is 610-632-0975. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, it's the Midday Show on The Fanatic.
All right, so the other day, it was a couple weeks ago, actually, I'm at Parks doing Cousins Corner. I'll be there tonight, in fact. So I'm there, and a guy, Kyle, comes to see me. He comes to see me at all the shows. He's a great guy. So big listener of the show, and we talking. He has family. He's, you know, wife's about to give birth and the whole thing. And, you know, four kids now. And he says, I need a new car, man. He's like, you know anybody? You do family, right? You do your guys, the uncles. Can you, like, and I go, and he goes, well, what about this other one? I got 20 here. I went, listen, forget about the other ones. Go see Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul. He was paying some ridiculous amount interest rate for a car that was bad. I was, dude, you got to protect your family. He goes to see Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul, and the next thing you know, he's driving home. Boom, price he wants, family secure, safe and sound, the whole thing. See, the beauty of Family Crusher Dodge Ram, I tell you all the time about being family, is that you go there, they know, they've seen every situation. They've been down there for three generations at the Airport Auto Mall. So you need a new vehicle, go see the uncles. Trust me, you'll be family. FamilyAutos.com is how you reach them, open anytime.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
11:52 on a Thursday. Jason Martinez, I'm Anthony Gargano. It's the Midday Show, the truth is behind the glass. So I got to tell you a story. The Vikings have an issue.
What's the issue?
Stephon Diggs. So what's happening right now is that a player, if you're upset with where you're at, all you got to do is act like an a-hole.
Well, the AB rule.
All you got to do is be a baby. And you know what? So, Stephon Diggs, the latest guy to create turmoil.
He's creating turmoil in Minnesota?
He is. He was a no-show at practice.
Okay. Oh, he no-showed practice.
And he's unhappy.
Ooh.
And that's a big deal.
Yep.
And here's the thing. I kind of agree with him. Be honest with you.
Because the coach is kind of an idiot.
I think, look, they came into it. All they want to do is run the ball. However, and that's great. You have Dalvin Cook, and I love Dalvin Cook. We just got done talking to D. Gunn about Dalvin Cook. However, they have Diggs and Thielen. Come on, man. Like, you got to open it up.
Yeah.
Like, they got weapons. So, according to, and this is Pro Football Talk, Stephon Diggs' trade speculation ramps up after he misses that non-injury-related practice for non-injury-related reasons.
I see a tweet here from Rappaport, too. His frustration with the organization has been palpable.
Yes.
I love that word. He's not at practice yesterday for non-injury reasons. Teammates are left wondering if he wants to be there. The team is adamant he's not available for a trade, barring some massive deal. It's getting messy in Minnesota, isn't it?
And look, think about last week. Did you watch the game, the Bears? Did your Chicago Bears?
Yeah, absolutely. I had money on the Bears. Yeah, I saw two deep balls that were overthrown.
Yeah, well, one was a tough play because it was at the corner. And
he dove for it.
It was a tough. That was like the Willie Mays kind of catch you had to make. That was a tough one. But he overthrew him. He missed. Cousins isn't an elite quarterback. We know that.
Yeah.
But those are elite receivers, and they should. You still got to throw the ball. Like you still need, their offense is woeful. And so he's upset. Meanwhile, if you're the Eagles, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden that Stephon Diggs, you play them in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And there's turmoil. And I like to hear this.
And you play them there.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
I got the Giants this week, but yeah.
Now, the other name that I got to throw at you guys is this. So they're talking about a whole Denver kind of fire sale,
yeah.
Right? Well, we talked about the cornerback. Chris Harris. We talked about Von Miller. What about Emmanuel Sanders?
Looking for a little depth?
I got news for you. I like Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah. I see how old he is.
He can still run. He's 32.
Is he 32?
He could be a better slot receiver than Aguilar, too.
Well.
You know, could you imagine you imagine pairing
you can catch
Emmanuel Sanders and D-Jax? Now, listen, he also represents an insurance issue that if something happens with Deshaun,
move him outside.
He plays on the outside.
Yeah. No, it's not a bad thought at all. He's got 23 catches for 298 already this year and two touchdowns, 13-yard average. Yeah, it's not a bad thought, Ant. You're not going to have to give up a haul to get him.
Nothing. He's 32. They're done.
Yeah, that's a six-round pick.
That's a guy that I have real interest in.
My question for you is, how many years does Flacco have out there?
What
I'm saying is, are they going to get rid of one of his weapons? I know they're 0-4 and soon to be 0-5. I get that.
Yeah, if you give them a fifth-round pick,
they would do it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Just say sorry, Joe. Pick,
you know.
Well, Joe, it's not about this year. So listen. No sorry Joe at all.
I just think Joe's in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Listen, he's not what he was in Baltimore.
No.
But he still, last week, he had some moments where, you know, he drove them right down the field to take the lead. He's not horrible.
Well, I'm really interested in this, Emmanuel. That's a good call, Ant, because the volatility of Deshaun and the abdominal injuries, you could kick him to the outside, and that would be serviceable. And he can still stretch the field because that component is what you need to make sure you have.
Yeah.
Because of the spacing. That's not a bad thought. Not a bad thought at all. I'll take Von Miller over him, but give me both.
Yeah, well.
Two out of five.
Why don't you get all three?
Yeah.
Chris Harris, Von Miller, Emmanuel Sanders. How about that?
And we'll send you 2 and 5 and Sidney Jones. All right? You in? You sign that? Sign that contract?
Yeah, I do that with a pint of blood.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. I'm in favor. I like the way you're thinking, Anthony. Let's check our Twitter poll, Ant, because Andrew put a Twitter poll on @975middays. And let me tell you that first and foremost, our Twitter poll is brought to you by, we got a new sponsor for the Twitter poll, so let me find it here in our packet of papers. Where do I have it, Andrew?
You want me to read it for you?
Yeah, I think
it's brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating, Air Conditioning, and Duct Cleaning. Got a cold wife? Cans can warm her up with special financing and rebates up to $1,925 on a new heating system. Visit MarvinEcans.com for an estimate.
All right, here's the poll question, Andrew.
Cans.
And I want to get your thought on this question.
It's a great name. Marvin E. Cans. That's a cool name. Sounds like a character in a movie.
Marvin E. Cans came in and took them for all they had.
Got another rewrite?
Marvin E. Cans. That's a great name for a character.
Yeah, well, you like the initial, too, is what it is.
Yeah, Marvin's a great name, and then the E.
The E.
Yeah. The E. Cans.
It adds a little dignity to the name.
That's cool.
Here's the poll question. I want to get your guys' answers before I reveal the results. Which sport has the best playoffs? In total, all
that's
rounds.
The poll question?
Yeah, that's very simple.
That does
simple.
Not do Marvin E. Cans justice. That's such a horrid, horrid poll question.
Well, it's simple, stupid, smart. But when you look at the playoffs and look at the entirety of playoff,
consider
the play-in game.
Time. We go on this whole thing about to start the show, ways to improve it. What's wrong? The whole and you come up with that poll question.
We've done that other one too many times.
What?
Which sport is quality of product is too good?
No. There's a million things that you could have done off of that.
But you're the poll question writer from here on out.
Instead of that. Like, I gave you the poll question yesterday, which is easy, about believing in the title chances of this team. I love you, Tunis, but and I
that was in consultation with me.
And I sing your praises all the time. Except when you go the half-ass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.